Welcome to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and today we are going to look over the many coaching changes in the SEC, and specifically from the offensive coordinator position. That way we can dive into how these offenses are going to look and how they are going to invariably change. Now, this episode, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, is going to probably be somewhat lengthy. And we're going to be dealing with some very like dense statistics and information. And I am going to do my very best not to put you to sleep and bore you. This is a really, really interesting topic to me. It kind of gives you the idea of how offenses are played and how they're schemed and game planned. And it really changes the way you actually watch football. When you're more informed on this level, it just really makes it more enjoyable, in my opinion. It doesn't feel like you're just watching sports. So I am going to go over the advanced statistics we're going to be looking at. I'm going to try to keep it as brief as possible while explaining exactly what they mean and what they do. And I'm going to attach a glossary to my website. So if you need to reference point back to it, where you can just, you know, look at the definitions and kind of understand what it all means and what all we have going into it. So first things first, you're going to be hearing pass rate over expectancy, or PROE. And what that means is what percentage teams are passing over the average expected pass percentage. So for instance, on standard downs, which is first and 10, second and six or less, and third and fourth down and four or less, the standard pass rate is 40%. So that means that teams in those downs and distances pass the ball on average 40% of the time. Now, passing downs is considered second and seven or more, or third and fourth down with 5 or more yards to gain. Now, the pass rate on passing downs, the average, is right around 60%. So that basically, if you were passing the average amount on standard downs and passing the average amount on passing downs, you'd have a completely balanced offense. You know, you'd be passing just as much as you're running the ball. Now, some of the personnel lingo that you're going to hear and jargon is pretty simple. But if you're not familiar with it, we're going to run that down real quick. 10 personnel is 1 running back, 0 tight ends, and 4 wide receivers. So the numbering, when it says personnel, the first number stands for the amount of running backs in the formation. The second number stands for the amount of tight ends. Okay. 11 personnel is 1 running back, 1 tight end, 3 wide receivers. And then 12 personnel is 1 running back, 2 tight ends, 2 wide receivers. All right. And then what we're going to be looking at for numerous profiles is going to be your play action percentage, like how many amount of plays involve play action, how many amount of plays involve motion, and then how many amount of plays involve either both of those combined together or none of them. And so the reason we're looking at that type of offense when we're diving in here is simply because these are modern offenses. You know, it's to 2024. Your standard modern offense is going to have some type of play action, some type of motion. That it just keeps the defense on edge. It's not your grandfather's college football and they're just lining up and throwing the ball, unless you're one of the teams that we will get to later in this episode. So the average EPA on a play action and a motion pass attempt is plus 0.008. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot. You know, you're like, oh, what's EPA? you know, I don't understand. It's just an efficiency measure. It means extra expected points added. So to kind of put that in perspective, the average EPA per pass attempt on a pass attempt that does not involve a play action or a motion is -0.104. Now, unless you've got your notebook out and you're taking notes and you're like writing these numbers down, you know, you're probably like, okay, this doesn't matter. To put that in perspective, an average passing attempt that has play action and motion is 13 times more efficient than an average pass attempt that has neither one of those components. 13 times. Just if you put those, it doesn't matter what the play call is. It doesn't matter, you know, what side of the field you're attacking or how deep. Your pass attempt will be 13 times more efficient just by adding in those components. Now, the average pass attempt or the average pass attempt with play action and motion is roughly 10% of a team's overall pass attempt. So 10% of the time, they're going to have a pass attempt that includes play action and motion. Okay. The average amount of pass attempts that involve neither play action or motion is a whopping 46%. Now, that is an insane number to me as I was diving further into this. And I personally will be avoiding offenses that are stuck in the 1970s. And when we get to the Big Ten, you'll boy, do I have some information for you about Iowa and how old their offense is. And hopefully it's changing coming into this season. So that kind of gives you a rough breakdown of what we're looking at. So we're going to dive in to the coaching changes in the SEC. We have numerous teams to look at, and I'm going to file through them for the most part alphabetically. That way you can kind of dive in with me. So we're going to start at the very top. Now we have there are 9 offensive coordinator changes in the SEC alone. We will not be looking at all 9 simply because Kentucky and LSU are hiring from within. So they're probably going to run the same offense. So, you know, there's not really any need to dive into an offense that's going to look similar, right? This is about coaching changes. This is about offenses that are changing. So we won't be looking at those. So if you're a Kentucky or LSU fan, I apologize. You're probably going to tune out of the episode right now. But anyway, let's start at the very top, which is the biggest, you know, revelation that I've had. And that is we're going to start with Alabama. Now, Alabama's passing profile in 2023, I mean, just horrendous, if you ask me. And it all speaks to how just abysmal Tommy Rees is as an offensive coordinator. And there's a reason he didn't get hired anywhere else in college football, and he's now in the pros with the Cleveland Browns doing some type of coordination there. There's a reason that happened, okay? So Alabama's pass rate over expectancy on standard downs and passing downs were both -6%. So what that means is they're running the ball more on standard downs, and they're running the ball even more on passing downs when they should be throwing it. So because of that, you know, we've had some very interesting, you know, EPA efficiency numbers that came in. So the change now is going to be Washington's entire coaching staff is coming over. They're implementing, you know, all the way across the board. So I'm going to assume that the passing profile in 2024 is going to look a lot different. And the reason that is simply because Washington, their PROE last year on standard downs was 3rd overall, +17% over expectancy. And then on passing downs, +14% pass rate over expectancy. So they are going to throw the ball a lot more. Now, I think they have the talent to do that in Jalen Milroe, as I've went over in previous episodes. He is elite throwing the ball down the field. And I think this type of scheme and offense is only going to be tailor-made for him. Now, a couple things that are really going to change when you're looking at Alabama football is they're going to have a significantly higher 11 personnel percentage. So in 2023, they lined up in 11 personnel roughly 69% of the time. Now, Washington, on the other hand, lined up in 11 personnel 83% of the time. And that's going to be a huge change when it comes to like offensive scheme and style. Now, what else is going to change is they're going to cut their 12 personnel essentially in half. 12 personnel in 2023, they were 19th overall, 27%. Washington, on the other hand, is about 59th in 12% personnel percentage at 13.5%. So they're going to run 12 personnel half as much. But the caveat to that is, even though Washington did not run 12 personnel that much, they were 5th overall in EPA per attempt. And the reason is, when you're running 12 personnel, the normal thought is, okay, this is a big package, we're going to run out of it. They would rather throw out of it than run out of it, and it just catches teams off guard. They're just not used to, you know, having to guard those two tight ends in space along with two wide receivers. And I mean, Washington arguably had the best, you know, wide receiver room in the entire country last year. Now, one other thing that just stands out to me is the overall EPA per attempt on pretty much everything across the board for Alabama is going to go up. And that's simply because Washington is better at scheming plays. And, you know, Nick Sheridan, who comes as is going to be the offensive coordinator along with Kalen DeBauer as the head coach, they are going to scheme up better looking, just easier plays for Jalen Milroe. And it is not a far-fetched idea to maybe hop in on some Jalen Milroe Heisman futures, simply because he is going to be throwing the ball at a much higher clip, and they are going to be much better at throwing the ball because he's going to be schemed up better looks. And, you know, the narrative is kind of changing now. Normally, when you're looking at the Heisman, they have to be a top four team. They have to, you know, well, Alabama, if Milroe, you know, excels in this system, they're going to make the playoff, and that's going to be good enough. All it'll come down to is statistical, you know, seasons, and he will be just as good as anyone else in that aspect. And right now, I believe he's plus 1600 out in the open market. All right, so now we're going to move on to Arkansas. And if you're an Arkansas fan, I'm sorry. I don't really know how else to say that. I apologize. A couple things that stand out. They're bringing in Bobby Petrino, the former offensive coordinator of Texas A&M in 2023. And then obviously, you know, we're all familiar with the motorcycle accident. Yeah, that's for a whole nother day. So one thing that is going to change for Arkansas is last year Arkansas had one of the lowest PROE profiles in the entire country. They were reminiscent of a triple option team. On standard downs, they were 121st in PROE. And then on passing downs, they were 117th. That's going to go up. Texas A&M last year under Petrino, they were 83rd in pass rate over expectancy on standard downs and 23rd in pass rate over expectancy on passing downs at plus 7.9%. Now, one thing that is also going to change is Bobby Petrino runs arguably the most vanilla offense in all of college football. And to put that in perspective, their motion percentage is 16.7%. That's 122nd in the country. Their play action percentage, 115th at 22.8%. So they're lining up and just going to it, basically. They're not doing anything, fancy, special, and that would be fine if this was 1995, but it's not. And that's why him and Jimbo Fisher are not at Texas A&M anymore. So when you're looking at it from that perspective, the other thing that just really is mind-boggling to me is the non-play action or motion attempts. They were 127th. So that means 63% of the time when Texas A&M last year lined up, there was no motion, there was no play action, it was just straight get after it, passing the ball. Now, that to me is just egregious in this day and age. There's just no way that you can do that. You have to have more creativity to your offense. And because of that, it's extremely concerning. I mean, if you're an Arkansas fan, I'm concerned for you because it's going to be boring and it's probably not going to be that great. And you can only run offenses where you're just lining up and going at it when you have elite level quarterbacks. And even then, those elite level quarterbacks need some creativity. When you're looking at like NFL style offenses, you have Tyreek Hill in motion and it just puts the defense on edge. There's no leverage. They don't know what to do. Same thing. Like when you look at any of the Shanahan style offenses, the creativity is through the roof. And that's why you have someone like Brock Purdy, who is good, plugs in and does the right things that he needs to do. And he's got these wide open windows to throw to because of creativity. Enough about that. So let's go on to Auburn. They are going to bring in Derek Nix, which is the former offensive coordinator from Ole Miss. And they're going to have some drastic changes. And the things that are going to be drastic is they're going to be running 11 personnel pretty much exclusively. At Ole Miss, Derek Nix ran 11 personnel 98.6% of the time. That's second in the country. I mean, there's really no space for anything else. They're going to run 11 personnel, and that's just it. That's going to be it. Now, a couple of things that will be a positive is you're going to see an increase in play action percentage. Last year, Ole Miss was 10th in play action percentage, and that was 46% versus Auburn, which was 40th. And that 35%. So you're going to see a tick up in play action percentage. And on top of that, you're going to see just probably more efficient game schemes also. Simply, even though they ran, like I'll give you an example. Ole Miss ran 12 personnel at the 126th rank, which was 0.5% they ran 12 personnel. But they ranked second in EPA per pass attempt on 12 personnel because, again, they don't ever run it. People are expecting them to run the ball in that personnel. And when they threw it, they just lights out, essentially. Really good at doing things like that. Now, the play action, non-play action motion attempts percentage, they're going to be very similar. You have 38% to 42%. So they're going to be running similar, rates of that. And they will have an overall higher PROE. And it's going to be more towards the average pass rate over expectancy profile. Auburn last year, they were just similar to Arkansas. They just ran the ball, whatever the down and distance, right into the pile, and then they just hope to get 2-3 yards at a time. And that's obvious. If you watched any of their games, they just, they really struggled throwing the ball under circumstances, period. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were. Now, we're going to move on to Mississippi State, and they're going to bring in Jeff Lebby, which is the former Oklahoma offensive coordinator. And they will see numerous increases, and they're going to see a lot of positive changes. I don't know if that's going to, you know, equivalent to positive right now, because, you know, you have players who are going to have to take on the system. We're going to have to, you know, adapt and adjust. First off, they're going to see an increase in their pass rate over expectancy on standard downs and on passing downs. That's going to be, you know, a positive going forward. They're going to see an increase in play action. Last year, Oklahoma was ninth in play action percentage, 46.5%, whereas Mississippi State was 35th, 35.7%. So you're going to see an increase there. And then one thing that is going to change pretty much overnight is going to be Jeff Lebby does not run any 12 personnel. So it's strictly 11, and then it's mainly 10 personnel. So you're not going to see a lot of 12 personnel. He only ran it 1.3% of the time, whereas last year Mississippi State ran it, you know, not a high clip, but 5.9% of the time. So from a percentage standpoint, that's a huge difference. Then another thing that you will see a huge increase in is, well, excuse me, a decrease, but it'll be an increase up the rankings. Jeff Lebby's not running a lot of non-play action motion attempts. Those inefficient plays are not happening in his offense. Last year, they were seventh overall in non-play action or motion attempts percentage. They only ran them 28% of the time. Whereas when you look at Mississippi State, they ran them 46% of the time. That is a gigantic difference, especially considering you're going to see not only a decrease in those inefficient play calls, but Oklahoma and Jeff Lebby were better at scheming up, you know, the right type of play calls from the right personnel packages. And then, you know, like I said, I don't know if that's going to be a big difference in whether or not Mississippi State takes a step forward, but I do think it is a great hire and it's a step in the right direction. All right, let's go on to one of my favorite teams of the year and arguably one of the biggest conundrums. If you get this team right, then you're probably going to have a really good year, or, you know, either way. And that's going to be Texas A&M. So as I've went through on several episodes, the firing of Jimbo Fisher and obviously Bobby Petrino and that entire staff should bring, you know, joy to every Texas A&M Aggies fan's heart. Like, they should be ecstatic, and they should have thrown probably about five or six parties by now. So what you're going to see is you're going to see a drastic change in a couple of things. So they bring in, obviously, Mike Elko is the head coach out of Duke, and he's bringing in Colin Klein, former offensive coordinator from Kansas State. Now, one thing that you're going to see is it's not like Colin Klein does like extreme levels of one thing or another, right? You know, it's not like he's, you know, oh, they're running 11 personnel 95% of the time. You're just going to see the right increases from that vanilla, just boring Bobby Petrino offense. And my example is simply this. You're going to see a huge increase in play action and motion. So play action percentage in Colin Klein's offense, nothing crazy, 65th, and it's 30%, right? Well, play action last year, they only ran it 22% of the time for Texas A&M. You're like, okay, well, that's not a giant increase. Well, let's go to motion, okay? Motion percentage, Colin Klein's offense, pretty average, 75th overall, 31%. Well, Texas A&M ran it half as much as that, 16%. So, like, already right off the jump, I'm excited to see it. It gives me excitement. Another thing that stands out to me is the 12 personnel changing is a big deal, okay? You have Colin Klein is running 12 personnel 29% of the time. That's 14th overall. Texas A&M last year, they ran it 15.7% of the time. And that's 46. That's still decently high, but they are changing everything about this team and this environment. They're going to double 12 personnel, and they're going to throw out a 12 personnel too. Last year in 12 personnel EPA per pass attempt, Kansas State was ranked 36 overall. And then we get down to arguably the most important change is in the non-play action or motion attempts. Last year, like I have prefaced earlier in this episode, Texas A&M had a non-play action or motion pass attempt on 63% of their pass attempts. And that's 20% higher almost than the average. Now, Colin Klein's coming in from Kansas State, and you're going to see that just plummet. Kansas State was 77th in non-play action or motion pass attempts at 47.5%. That they are getting a move in the absolute right direction. So not only are you going to get an offense with more motion, more play action, more 12 personnel that they're actually throwing out of, you're going to get a massive, massive decrease in inefficient attempts. And as I've stated in other episodes, Texas A&M, if everything falls into place with the tough schedule they have, they really stand out as a team that is checking all the boxes of moving in the right direction. All right. So we're going to move on to another team that's pretty overlooked, and I haven't done a lot of, episodes or articles on them, but I do want to touch base on Vanderbilt. I know that you're probably like, oh, great. Like, you know, what do they got? Like, they're going to win 3 games this year. And I get it. Like, yeah, they're not going to compete. They probably won't even make a bowl game. But the thing is, like, we should dive into these things to show what's changing. All right. So Vanderbilt's main change is going to be they are going to be going exclusively to 10 personnel. And the reason is they're bringing over Tim Beck, which is the former offensive coordinator at New Mexico State. They also bring over Diego Paiva, the quarterback from New Mexico State. So he is familiar with this system. So, and I mean, last year and my articles, I had New Mexico State making that conference championship game at 10-1. That was probably the best call the entire year. And now I'm not going to be going out on a limb here with Vanderbilt or anything crazy like that. But there is some reason to understand what's going on here because they could come up big in certain spots that you would not expect. So Tim Beck at New Mexico State ran 11 personnel, 128th in the country at 29%. Now, what's interesting is they're going to primarily run 10 personnel, which means there will be no tight ends. But they don't really throw the ball at a high rate out of 10 personnel. They run it. And they do it actually well because Diego Paiva is very mobile and very good at finding seams and making the correct reads and whatnot. So that is something that is kind of interesting to me. Something that stands out a little bit. Maybe in the games where, you know, they're expected to be a little bit closer, you know, not obviously if they're playing like Alabama or Georgia or something like that, they're going to be able to make some moves that a lot of people would not have seen. Now, our last team on the list is going to be Oklahoma. And there's going to be a couple things that say the same. And a couple changes that really stand out to me. So, as we said, Jeff Lebby is leaving Oklahoma, and we have Seth Luttrell coming in, from North Texas. He's the North Texas head coach, and he will be the offensive coordinator here at Oklahoma. Now, a couple things that will stay the same. Their pass rate over expectancy is going to be pretty similar. You know, They're, you know, plus 4% on standard downs, plus 1% on passing downs. So pretty similar. One thing that is going to change is the play action percentage is going to go down. Under Jeff Lebby, they ran play action 46.5% of the time, which was ninth in the country. And then under Seth Luttrell, that's going to be 34% of the time. So a significant decrease there. The one thing that's going to change is they are replacing 11 personnel with 10 personnel, essentially. 11 personnel for Seth Luttrell at North Texas last year, they ran it 37.8% of the time, which is 126th. They run similar 12 personnel settings, both Lebby and Luttrell did, and they were both good. They threw out of 12 personnel at a very, very good rate. North Texas last year was ninth in EPA in pass attempt out of 12 personnel, similar to Oklahoma last year, which was, 20th in EPA per pass attempt out of 12 personnel. So those are some good things. The negative that I would take here is you're going to see an increase in those inefficient type pass attempts. So Seth Luttrell ran pass attempts with no play action and no motion 41% of the time, right near the average, mind you, which ranked 38th. The reason you see that a lot, and that's similar to what Vanderbilt's going to look like, is when you're running 10 personnel, you're already spreading the defense out. You have four wide receivers out there. They are leveraged. You by placing your receivers wherever you're going to place them in 10 personnel, it can act the same as, playing out of, 11 personnel and motioning someone one direction or the other, right? So that's kind of why you see the decrease in those in the non-motion, non-play action attempts. So that's one thing to look at as you're going into the season. That's pretty much sums it up. If you made it through this whole episode, I really appreciate it. This is a lot of data and a lot of information to take in. I personally really enjoy doing these deep dives. That way it gives me a better understanding, not only of the teams, but what I'm watching in general. And this time, if you're more interested in this type of information, I'm going to put more up on my website, themittnermethod.com. And feel free to reach out and, let me know what you thought. I really enjoyed doing this episode. It's one of my favorites. I'm going to try to do it for every major conference that has like coaching changes and offensive coordinator changes like this. I will do defensive coordinator changes. It's going to be a little more geared towards kind of like the packaging they do, whether like what type of defense they run, do they run zone, man coverage, so it's not nearly as in depth, but you will get some nuanced thoughts and nuanced thinking built into it. So that's it for today. I plan on recording a podcast every day up until kickoff this year. And hopefully you've enjoyed what we've had so far. And thanks for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.